Hey guys, welcome to the TardyCast. I'm so happy you're joining us today. We're going to talk about a heavier topic today. We're going to talk about grief and loss. Now, I know that we've all experienced loss in our lives in some way, shape, or form. And what I want to talk about today, and I have someone with us to talk about it, as we deal with our students, junior high and high school students, how do we engage the topic of grief and loss? How do we have the discussion with them? How do we cue it up? What not to say, what to say, like what's the best way to say it? What's the things we should steer away from and the things we kind of head toward? Here's who I have with us today. Buddy Mendez, he is a parent of our church. So these are the things I'll say about you. You're a parent of our church. You're a parent of a junior high and a high school student at our church. You are a lover of this church and a lover of student ministries and an encourager of student ministries. And I know you deeply in that context. But you obviously professionally have a different set of credentials. Why don't you just talk about what you do and who you are?
Sure. I am a professor of psychology at Concordia University in Irvine. Been there 23 years and teach classes in marriage and family, principles of counseling and adolescent development. And then I also am a clinical psychologist in private practice in Fashion Island in Newport Beach.
So this to you is, for people who don't or aren't great at dealing with grief, you're not one of those people. You have probably a pretty good handle or give coaching on how to deal with things like grief, like having those tough discussions about loss, a death in the family, a death in a school or in a neighborhood. You're familiar with these kind of conversations.
Yeah, I'm familiar with this, especially in my private practice. Oftentimes my clients are experiencing a significant loss in their life, a relational loss that triggers them to come to therapy. And so it's not an uncommon thing.
So we want to talk about today, and this is for parents. So TardyCast is all about for parents and for leaders, something that, you know, a topic that they can take and walk away from and be a little smarter about. We're going to talk about grief and loss and how to have those conversations with our students. I think parents, every parent, I believe, wants to be a better parent and wants to be the parent who can lead through discussions like this. And me being a parent, I don't know if today I'm ready. I'm lucky my kids are young, so I don't know if today I'm ready. I know I need to spend time getting ready. And as a volunteer leader, been a volunteer leader, now being a pastor and having a ton of volunteer leaders, there's never a point where it's like, man, I'm ready tomorrow. I think we always go into those conversations with a little tenseness, a little fear of saying the wrong thing or doing the wrong thing, that we don't really get our heart across or our point across when having those discussions, or that we end up doing all the talking and we don't give them, the student, our student, the chance to share what they're going through. We kind of talk our way through the problem, through the loss, through the grief. So as a parent, and you are a parent, but obviously from the psychology side, if you're a parent and you have a student that has loss around them, a death, around them in their circle, how do you engage that discussion with them to help them through it?
Yeah. Well, the first thing that you're assuming is that you're having a discussion, which is great, because some parents might be so afraid that they don't know how to have the discussion that they actually avoid having a discussion with their son or their daughter about the loss in their life. And you have to have that discussion. Your son or your daughter has to have an opportunity to talk to you about the feelings that they're having in reaction to the loss, the thoughts that they're having, what it means to them. And you don't need to know any of that beforehand. All you need is a curious mind. You just need to be curious and with humility go to your kid and say, hey, I want to understand how you're responding to what has happened. And for every kid, that might be different. But we know in psychology that if they aren't given a safe space to reflect on what they're feeling and what they're thinking and what they're experiencing, those feelings will either be internalized and they'll become depressed and anxious, or those feelings will become externalized and they might become more irritable or annoying to be around, or they may be quicker to anger. So there will be feelings, and there's no such thing as a bad feeling. You never want to say to your kid, you shouldn't be feeling that way. You know, you shouldn't be feeling sad because so-and-so's in heaven now. Whatever it is that they say they're feeling, let them have that feeling. Don't judge their feelings. Be very non-judgmental as you're listening. And listen, like you're saying, Justin, you don't want to talk too much. You want to listen a lot. And you want to validate whatever it is that they're feeling. If they're feeling angry with God, you don't say to them, oh, you shouldn't be angry with God. God loves you. You say, that makes sense to me. I can see how you would be angry. So you're validating whatever feelings they come up with. And you say to them, I'm with you in the midst of this pain. I can't take it away. As parents, sometimes we see our kids in pain and we somehow want to say something magical that takes away the pain. But really the goal is to be with our kid in the midst of the pain. We don't have to take the pain away, because really that's what God models for us, that he doesn't take away bad circumstances in our lives, but he does promise to be with us in the midst of those bad circumstances. And Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. And Jesus also said something really important to this topic, which is, blessed are they who mourn, for they will find comfort. And the Bible also says that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. So we want to be close to our kids. We want to communicate with them, that we want to understand their idiosyncratic experience of this loss. We don't want to tell them what they should be feeling or how they should be feeling. We want to draw out of them what they're feeling. You know, the Bible says, the purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out. And so we want to provide a safe, secure environment where our kids feel free to just flow with whatever they're thinking, whatever they're feeling, whatever meaning they're making out of this, what's going on inside their internal world. And we want to listen well and listen to understand, not to give advice, not to problem solve, not to teach them a lesson, but to get close to them the same way the Lord gets close to us in the midst of bad circumstances. I know that's a long answer, Justin, but
no, I mean, I feel like there's a lot of parents who have probably already kind of started clicking their phone, rewinding it to listen to it, because there's a tons of good stuff in there. I mean, yeah. I hear that. I'm sitting here listening just with my jaw kind of on the floor of like, wow, I feel like even as a parent now of young kids, but even as a youth pastor, I feel like I make those mistakes. You know, one of the very first things you talked about was not avoiding the conversation. You know, yes. It's a premise that you're having the conversation.
Yes.
There's some parents who might be listening and say, well, you know, I feel like I am avoiding it. I'm looking to not have the discussion. I'm actively pursuing other topics of conversation. But there's other people who might be avoiding it without even knowing they're avoiding it. Mm-hmm. What could that look like? What's an example of someone who may be avoiding it without knowing that they're avoiding it, but their behavior shows that they're avoiding it?
Well, I think that a common thing that I hear is the parents will say to me, well, my son hasn't talked to me about it. Mm. My son hasn't asked me any questions about it. So I don't think my son needs a conversation about this, or my daughter, whoever it is. Mm-hmm. And I think that our kids could very much desire to have a conversation with us, but they need to be invited into that conversation.
Yeah, it feels like what you just said was that parents who are waiting for their students to lead the conversation,
yes.
Where students aren't going to lead the conversation necessarily in the topics of grief and loss.
No, the student is just as afraid as the parent sometimes, that, and they're not sure, are we even supposed to be talking about this? So we need to take that leadership role as parents and let them know, hey, this has happened to you. This is real. This is a real loss, and not live in denial. And I know that it'll be helpful for you to talk about this, to have a conversation. And the content doesn't matter. Just the process of us talking about whatever is going on inside you, and that will be good for you. We need to take the leadership role in that as parents, and not say to ourselves, oh, just because I don't see any changes in my child's behavior, or they're not approaching me about this topic, that somehow we're off the hook.
Yeah.
We are responsible to them as parents for their well-being, and that means initiating topics and difficult conversations that they might even be a little bit uncomfortable with, but that will be very beneficial for them.
So a parent gets the courage, which I think there's courage involved,
yes.
Goes to their kid to have this conversation. They initiate the conversation with open-ended questions.
Yeah.
How are you feeling? You know, what have you been thinking mm-hmm. about? How, you know, have you know, what are some other open-ended, you know, for just for a quick example?
Yeah. And you make a good point, which is you want to ask open-ended questions, not questions that could be answered with a simple yes or no, which is more of a leading question. So you don't want to ask a question that starts with like, do you, or is it, or are you, you know, are you sad? They could just answer yes or no. Yeah. A better question is, how are you feeling? Or can you tell me about the sadness? Or what is the sad part of you saying? You know, so the how and the what and the why questions are much more helpful than the is, do, or are questions. So why do you think it's affecting you in this way? How have you been dealing with this loss? What does it mean to you now that this loss has occurred? So a lot of good how, what, why, when questions can really be helpful. I wanted to share a quote from Ellen Bass. She said this: when I try to avoid my sorrows, the impact of my grief seems to increase. And I think that directly relates to this idea that some people have, I'm not really sure how to do this, so I'm just going to avoid it and hope it kind of works out over time. That's not true. I just had a client the other night who was grieving heavily over the death of his best friend when he and his best friend were 16 years old. And so, you know, this is something that can be held inside for a long time if it's not talked about in the moment.
Yeah. So if I'm a parent and I ask some great open-ended questions, and so I'm ready to go, I've asked these questions, I prepared, and it's greeted with silence or nothing, or I'm fine, or I really don't want to talk about it. Do I, as a parent, press? Do I, as a parent, walk away and say, well, I tried, he doesn't want to talk about it, so I mean, I guess he'll come to me. It sometimes feels like, and I'll put myself here, sometimes it feels like I'll make the first effort, but if it doesn't go well, it's hard for me to try again.
Yeah.
Like I'll make that first, you know, call, I'll make the first sit down appointment, I'll make the first, you know, I'll put myself out there at first, but if I don't see some fruit from that, it's easy for me to say, well, I guess I'm just not needed. I guess it will work itself out. So after that, assuming that the first conversation, and it might go really well.
Yeah.
Might go really well. Kid might open up. Student might share a lot of what's going on. Assuming it does not go that way.
Yeah.
Student does not want to talk. They maybe are not ready to talk. How does a parent, A, walk away from that still feeling like they have done something successful?
Yeah.
And B, how do they then re-engage? When's the right time to re-engage? Maybe the next day, wait a week. When should they re-engage that discussion of, hey, I really would like to talk about this again. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling now? Are you feeling any differently now? What's the best route after that first interaction?
Yeah, that's a great question, Justin. And I think initially what I probably would do is give my child some sort of a kind of a multiple choice question to follow up the open-ended question. If I'm not getting anywhere with the open-ended question, I might say, well, you know, I imagine that a kid your age going through this might be feeling blank. We call that in psychology empathic conjecture. So I'm making a conjecture as to what I, knowing my kid as I do, what they might be feeling. So if I think that my kid might be feeling sadness, I might say, you know, I imagine you might be feeling sad. Or if you know your kid might be feeling angry, or they might be feeling disappointed, or they might be feeling lonely, or afraid or anxious, you take everything you know about your kid and you make a conjecture about what they might be feeling. And then you can say to that child, are you feeling even some of that feeling, even maybe just a little bit? And then if the kid says yes, then you could say, well, let's talk about that. Let's elaborate on that. Let's open that up. Tell me more about that feeling. What is it like for you? What does it feel like? What else is that feeling saying to you? And that can open the door. Now, if they still close down, then you can step back and know that you gave them a very important message, which is it's okay to talk to me about this. So when you're ready, and you may find that when you're busy and you're looking at emails or you're doing your work or you're watching your favorite TV show, your kid might say something about it when maybe it's even a little inconvenient for you to drop what you're doing and talk to them. And I would highly recommend, especially if you have that kid that didn't open up at first, that you drop everything you're doing and you give them your full attention and you start to ask these questions again. That is not an uncommon phenomenon that kids will do that. And so I think you create that safe space, you go to that multiple choice, you see if they approach you when they're busy. Now, another thing that they may do is they may talk about a smaller loss in their life. And so they may talk about, let's say they lost a friend, and they thought they had a friend, and then they felt abandoned by their friend. And so there's a loss of a relationship there. And you could say, well, how did that feel? And then they'll talk to you about how that felt. And then you can say, do you feel that same way about anything else that's going on in your life? Well, I don't know. I don't know, maybe. Well, what about this death? What about this tragedy? Do you have those same feelings about that? Well, I guess I do. So sometimes kids will very indirectly open the door for you to have that conversation with them by talking about a different loss that results in them having similar feelings that they're not, or they're blocking on, or they're repressing about the very tragic loss that's actually going on in their life.
That's good. That's really good. Mm. So if I'm a leader, I'm a volunteer leader, and I'm working with students who, and they're going through the same thing, same grief or loss. Now, you're just kind of taking the view of the leader instead of the parent. So if I'm a leader working with these students, and they, you know, are looking to open up to me, mm-hmm. which, you know, as a volunteer leader, you know, we love our volunteers. They put a lot into students. Mm-hmm. But grief and loss sometimes find themselves on a list of things that parents, we love parents being the one to really lead the conversation. Mm-hmm. I think sexuality goes on that list. Obviously, we want leaders sharing, you know, great stuff, mm-hmm. and biblical stuff. And, you know, same thing with grief. We want leaders being there to be the heroes for kids and mold them and shape them and mentor them and care for them. But grief usually finds itself on kind of a short list of things we really love parents to lead. So how do I, as a leader, help talk through this with a student while mm-hmm. still pointing it back to parents?
Yeah, I think that the student may actually test you out to see how safe it is to talk to you about this first, before they talk to their parents about it. And when you validate whatever it is that they're feeling and experiencing in a non-judgmental way, in a loving way, in an understanding way, that may actually give them the courage to then approach their parents on this topic. Furthermore, you can just simply say to them, you know, I think it would be really helpful for you to have this kind of a conversation with your mom or dad. And you're kind of someone that they look up to, that they admire, and you're giving them some advice that, hey, this could really help you to talk to your mom or dad about it. And that may, combined with the safety that they feel talking about it with you, get them to the point to where they do feel comfortable discussing it with mom or dad. And I also think that it's always nice to have communication between the volunteer leaders and the parents.
Yeah.
And for the volunteer leaders to be able to say to the parents, hey, you know, you might want to ask your child about this. And it wouldn't surprise me if your child is feeling this way. And I just want to give you the heads up on that. So that can be helpful.
And that's not a break of confidentiality. It's not a break of relationship. It's you as a leader queuing up the parent so that they can have those slam dunk conversations.
Right. You don't have to get into the details of what the child is sharing, but you can still guide the parent in the direction of, this is a conversation worth having. I'm not going to give you the details of the conversation I had with your child, but I am going to recommend that this is a conversation worth having with your child.
You know, when I was growing up and we were dealing with loss in my family, my mom shared with me about my grandfather who passed away. It was my father's father who I never met, and he never met me. He passed away before I was born. And, you know, she shared this story from her own personal life, because she was very close to them before he passed away. And, she, you know, to me, you know, years back, you know, as I'm older now, I look back and say, wow, that was a smart move, Mom, that you built a bridge of communication using your own life example to make me feel safe so that I could open up to you. And, you know, I look back at that now as an adult and say, wow, my mom was really smart. You know, where does sharing your own personal story of loss or grief fit into being able to help students work through their grief? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, self-disclosure about a personal story, like in your case, can be very helpful. Because it can really give your child permission to then have their own story and to feel comfortable with that. The only thing I would say about self-disclosure is, you know, make sure that your story is really going to benefit your child mm-hmm. and not just you. Mm-hmm. Don't make your child into your counselor, mm-hmm. But make a point through your story that your child can relate to the point. And then keep it brief, keep it concise, and then give them plenty of an opportunity to respond to your story. And I think when you do that, when you present your story in an organized way, a concise way, a coherent way, and the lesson of your story is very clear, that sometimes can stimulate them to begin to talk. And certainly kids pay attention when parents talk about their own lives. And so it can be a very helpful tool. As long as you use it judiciously, mm-hmm. I guess, is what I would say.
You know, when you say that, my first thought, I mean, I just, as I'm sitting here right now, I just think, have I dealt with loss in my life? Am I able to have that kind of a conversation? Would I turn the kid I'm talking to into my counselor, being able to vent out my feelings? Yeah. I think a lot of parents or leaders who are listening to this might ask that same question. Like, have I dealt with loss? Because not everyone has dealt with grief and loss the right way. Mm-hmm. So if there's a parent or a leader that's listening and they come to the conclusion like, man, I actually don't think I have dealt with this, what should they do? Like, you know, where do they go? I mean, we have a great care department here, which I'm a huge fan of, but where would they go to start working through some of their stuff in order so they can serve their kid and help their kid better?
Yeah, that's a great question, Justin. And I think certainly, if they have unresolved issues of grief and loss from their own past, they're going to be able to be much more effective with their own child if they've worked through their own grief issues. So, you know, you want to go to a safe person who can do all the things that I recommended, you know, listen well, understand, validate your feelings, be comfortable with whatever it is you share. And that may be a friend, that may be somebody in a small group, that could be a pastor, that could be a professional counselor. So you can find that person in many different venues, but yes, it's absolutely important to get through work through your own stuff first so that you can then take your child along a journey. It's hard to take your child on a journey that you haven't been on yet yourself.
Right. So, all right. So wrapping up, and this is how we're going to wrap up, by the way. We're going to wrap up with a very quick, very simple, like the threes, I like to call them.
Okay.
You know, these are the three things that you just got to remember. These are the three things to do.
Yeah.
These are the three things to really steer away from. Just very simple stuff, very practical stuff. So as we get ready for that, here's my last question. You're kind of thinking, you can multitask in your brain. I know you can. Silence being okay. Me personally, it's hard to deal with silence. I had to learn to be okay with silence.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of people out there who they feel silence and it feels like a minute can feel like a year. Mm-hmm. Like it is hard to be okay in silence. Can you just give like a couple thoughts, words of encouragement of how silence plays a vital role in these conversations?
Yeah, it does. I don't know if probably not too many parents have seen this movie, Patch Adams, but Robin Williams plays a physician in there and he's sitting on a porch with this young girl who's experienced a very tragic loss where somebody very close to her has died. And the scene seems to go on for about 2 minutes. And all you see him doing is nonverbals. He's just kind of contorting his face and kind of grunting, but there's no words being exchanged. And it goes on for quite a while to where it's almost uncomfortable. But you can see how much he's supporting her in that silence. And so your presence with that person is so much more important than the content of what you say. Even if you are present with them and you say to them, I don't even know what to say to you right now. I don't even have any words. I just want to be with you right now. I just want to let you know that I'm here, even though I don't even know what to say or do right now, but I'm here. That would mean the world to somebody, because people that I've talked to that have experienced a great deal of grief, they will tell me, you know, there are no words. There are no words that others can say, but I want to see them. I want them to be with me. And when they're with me, even though they have no words, that's extremely meaningful to me. So don't be afraid if you're with them and it's silence, because the key is not the words, but your presence.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah. All right. So let's do these threes.
Okay.
I'm a parent. I'm about to sit down and have a conversation. I'm a leader. I'm going into life group. You know, it comes up. What are the three things that I should definitely steer? Let's do the steer away from, and then we can end on a high note of what we
okay.
do. So what are the three things that I just steer away from? And I think we picked up some great, I mean, the big nuggets throughout this whole talk. But if you were somewhere, the three things, just stay away from these things.
I would steer away from any comment that basically sends the message, don't feel what you're feeling.
Great.
So if, for instance, if they're feeling angry, steer away from cheer up.
Mm-hmm.
He's in heaven now. He's with the Lord. Or, you know, Romans 8:28 says that God works everything together for good, and this is all gonna turn into good. Because by saying that, you're invalidating the feeling that they have of resentment and anger and bitterness and betrayal. Instead, just say, I can understand how you would have these feelings. If they're getting very agitated, and they're talking fast and they're talking louder, the worst thing you could say to them is, calm down. Mm-hmm. And because that says, again, don't feel. Instead, what you want to say to them is, I can see that this is very upsetting to you. So upsetting, it's like you can't even contain yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's a much better thing to say. So you don't want to invalidate what they feel. I would say the second thing is, you don't want to tell them how they should be feeling.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh,
you should be feeling this, or these are the five stages of grief. What stage are you in? Or it's been this long, therefore you should be feeling this now. Or all your friends are feeling this way, but you're not. What's the matter with you? So don't ever tell them what they should be feeling. And then I think the third thing that you definitely don't want to do is avoid the issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't want to bury it. You don't want to sweep it under the rug. You don't want to pretend like it never happened. You don't want to ignore it. It's real. Model for them accepting the reality. And one person told me one time, if you want to summarize psychological health in a nutshell, in two words, it's accept reality. And so you've got to model for them that we are going to accept and deal with reality. We're not going to avoid it.
That's great. Now, and obviously, the inversions of all those is what you should be doing, like
correct.
You just said, which is so obvious. But give us, if you were to give us a couple of the things, man, this is really going to set you up for success. What would you say? A couple
listen,
things.
Listen well. And listen to understand. You know, my wife said to me one time, you know, I study you. And that was such a great compliment to me, that she is not just trying to understand and know me, she's actually studying me.
Hmm.
And I would encourage you as parents to study your children, to really, really get to know them, to try and understand them deeply. And just the process of you trying to understand your kids, they will recognize that. And that will make them feel loved, and that will make them feel comforted in the midst of a very painful situation or a very difficult loss. So listen well. And the other thing I would say is be willing to drop your schedule when your child is ready to kind of let it go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember one time when my son was ready to let it go, and we were in the car together, and he had experienced a loss, and I literally pulled the car over into the nearest parking lot. at Tower Records so that I could go to the back seat and comfort him. That is so important that you're willing to work on their timetable. Mm-hmm. And then I think the last thing is, as Christians, just to pray for wisdom, to pray that the Holy Spirit would comfort your child, to pray that you would be able to set up those safe environments that your child is looking for, and to pray that there would be intimacy and closeness in your family in the midst of difficult circumstances.
That's great. Buddy, thank you so much for the time.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for that. The parents are going to benefit. Leaders are going to benefit. I benefited. I really appreciate it. Hey, guys, thanks for tuning in today. Don't forget, TardyCast is here so that we are never late to leadership, not late in our families, not late in our groups, that we're not late so we can be prepared for situations just like this. So feel free to send this to other parents, to other leaders. There's some great stuff that anyone can learn from here, and we encourage it. So I hope you guys have a great conversation with your kid. I hope you have a great weekend, and we'll see you this weekend at Mariners, and just we're praying for you. We love you guys. Keep it up.